Greetings. Overcomers.ca. For the Lord our God is holy. The Judgments of the Lord. Chapter 12. Scriptures. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Psalm 45:6. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals. Fire and brimstone and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. Psalm 11, 4-7. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah 6:1. Isaiah 63, verses 5-19 says, Look down from heaven, and see from your habitation, holy and glorious. Where are your zeal and your strength, the yearning of your heart, and your mercies towards me? Are they restrained? Doubtless you are our father. Though Abraham was ignorant of us, and Israel does not acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our father. Our Redeemer from everlasting is your name, O Lord. Why have you made us stray from your ways and hardened our heart from your fear? Return for your servant's sake the tribes of your inheritance. Your holy people have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down your sanctuary. We have become like those of old, over whom you never ruled, those who were never called by your name. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hairs of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. A thousand thousands ministered unto him. 10,000s times 10,000s stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open. I watched them because of the sound of pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain, and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like unto the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Daniel 7, 9-14. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. James 5:9. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? James 4:12. From the heavens you uttered judgment, and the earth feared and was still. When God arose to establish judgment, to save all the humble of the earth. Selah. Psalm 76, verses 8 and 9. For the Lord will execute judgment by fire and by his sword on all flesh, and those slain by the Lord will be many. Isaiah 66:16. Isaiah 2:2-4 says, "And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many peoples shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Let the nations stir themselves up and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Joel 3:12. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice, and he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. Psalm 9:7-8. Therefore wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day when I rise up to seize the prey. For my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out upon them my indignation, all my burning anger. For in the fire of my jealousy all the earth shall be consumed. Zephaniah 3:8. Then the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the commanders, and the rich and the strong, and every slave and free man, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Revelation 6:15-17. In my distress I called upon the Lord, to my God. I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked, because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds, dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me. For they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Psalm 18:6-19. End scriptures. 5 visions. First vision. David encouraging himself in the Lord as he stood trembling in the place of the rocks, the place in the valley where Saul had pursued him to. David, now trapped in this place and refusing to become lukewarm in his commitment to his faith in God, stood still and encouraged himself in the Lord his God. End vision. Second vision. Then saw I the Lord sitting upon the throne in glory, with a great wind around about him, and the throne. The wind did blow strongly in a circular pattern around the Lord, billowing out his robes. I knew this to be the winds of his judgments. And second vision. Third vision. I saw the entire world infrastructure built by man in the world collapse, as if the world of man were an array of dominoes collapsing after being set up. I saw the collapse begin in the central part of Canada, where man had great industry, and from there, in many lines, the infrastructure collapsed and was crushed by the speed at which this collapse happened. All the world's infrastructure, all the elements of man's society, all of it, including the economy of men and nations, all of it as if it were black dominoes. They started up by the tar sands area and began toppling in sequence like dominoes topple. I saw that the collapse is on. The speeding up of the toppling over of the dominoes was accelerating and was going in many directions. There was not one line of dominoes, but many. These many lines of dominoes increased in speed as to their topple worldwide. And third vision. Fourth vision. Saw clearly the Lord, as is in the depiction of the Lord rescuing his beloved in Psalm 18. The Lord was seated upon the throne of glory, yet the throne was being brought close to the world of man. By that throne the Lord did come to this world, unto this present world of men. There was a massive tempest and storm with great clouds of dust kicked up by the prevailing winds that emanated from the throne. These storms came from the Lord in holy wind, blowing upon all that was estranged from the Lord and was holding man captive to anything less than full salvation, which was their right in this world because of the atonement of Christ. Before the Lord's throne was great noise of storm, black tempest of thick dark clouds and bolts of lightning and many peals of thunder. This tempest storm destroyed all in the world of man that was against the liberty afforded to all peoples because of the promised restitution of all creation. The storm from the place of the throne did this massive destruction, setting men free in all nations and around the world to enter into the peaceful habitation of the kingdom of his anointing, the kingdom of God. So the storm destroyed that which held people back from entering into their right in the kingdom of God. A dual action storm, one to deliver, one to restore. And fourth vision. Fifth vision. From the trunk of the tree came forth a branch, which was Abraham, and from that branch to other branches, one long straight branch with leaves small and bright, but which were mottled and curled as though they lacked water. The second branch started straight, but then branched off into many smaller branches, which went off in many directions. The branches had a few leaves here and there, but they were yellowish, curled, and were only here and there amongst the array of branches. Understanding then came, and the first branch was Abraham's son Isaac, whom was called the father of the chosen. This branch represented Israel. The second branch was Ishmael, Abraham's son by the bondwoman. This son represented the Islamic Arabian nations, with Ishmael as their father. Then saw I the Lord blow his wind upon the branches, so that they dried up and withered, both of them. They both became dried and hard, with no leaves, but perhaps a few brown remnants hanging on to stiff, hard stems. The Lord gave this to indicate that his judgments against Israel are yet ongoing, but not without promise of restitution, and has now also begun the entire world of Islam in all of its many forms and hues, all of it withered in the vision by the blast of the Lord's holy wind. The Islamic nations having been a chastening rod in the hand of the Lord to correct his people, but now Islamic nations have come under the judgment of the Lord, the chastisement having thus been done. You will now see the judgments on Islamic nations just as it had been on the Jewish nations. Both branches wither. End vision. End all five visions. Just as each tradesman or worker uses tools to accomplish tasks, so too does the Lord have a tool, a plan, a program, a means and a way of accomplishing his tasks. The Lord has always had one plan, one task, but many varied tools to bring that singular plan to fruition. That plan and tool is simple. The Lord will in time bring restitution to all creation, redeeming all, and settling all into the freedom afforded to it, to each created thing by Christ. And the tool the Lord will use to do this is the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Now the scripture plainly states, sons of God, according to Romans 8:19, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Even so, many women are a standard of godliness and character that denotes their place in the placing of sons. So whether sons or daughters, the manifestation of these will be openly displayed tool by which the Lord will accomplish his holy purpose in restoring all things. One purpose, one tool, one manifestation of that tool which comes by way of judgment. Just as man fell, creation fell through the disobedience of one. When Adam ate of that one tree in particular, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he plunged all creation into the bondage of destruction, death, and dying. Now the Lord made that tree just as he had made all the other trees of the garden, but that tree was the one point where God's plan to manifest his children and set creation free began. God subjected creation to the bondage of futility in hope of the restitution of all creation. His plan was already perfect when the first son, Adam, was found to be a sinner. God had a sinner for a son, a disobedient son whom creation can thank for the decay it has experienced ever since. But that same son, Adam, was the beginning of a race that would die. For as in Adam, all die. Even so in the next only begotten son, all will live. As in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. The tool the Lord uses for this is the manifestation of the sons of God. The single purpose is to restore all things into a perfect Eden state or Edenic state. The future of this world is not bleak, but bright with promise. The Lord is going to manifestly cause his kingdom to consume all other kingdoms, removing from each nation their personal iniquity and pride in the process. It will all happen by one thing God has for this: judgment. Now the process of death and dying is very prominent in this hour. Mankind is in an upheaval that is provoked by every attitude and motive of every heart, so much so that peace is gone from the world and men everywhere are overtaken by the sore trial of this very hour. As such, the hour we are in is a prelude to the hope of restitution. The world is hopelessly divided, never to find peace amongst them. The rumors of war and threats of disruptions permeate every nation and every heart that seeks a life of peace and their own brand of right. But there is no peace. There is but only the seemingly never-ending contest of one over against the other. Nothing is safe any more in any nation, and man's wisdom cannot fix the problem. Yet I see this as a great promise, for the full measure of death and dying has come to a head. The latent bound hearts of iniquitous men has come to the full. This is the boiled up heat of the fire of the Holy Ghost, bringing all the corruption to the forefront. Why? So it can be judged. I say this in prophecy. You are about to see the Lord move in a myriad of judgment. This judgment will bring collapse to all the systems of man, none exempt. And this judgment will move now from the house of the Lord to the world of man. You will see with your very own eyes in the world, on your newscasts, on your various media screens, the judgments of the Lord. And there is not one place in the world at this time that is excluded from these unfolding judgments. The purpose of these writings will be to show you exactly where the Lord is moving and what his holy judgments are. And I dare say that there will also be, in the midst of these judgments, the manifestation of the sons of God. The Lord's children will emerge halfway through these judgments to the chorus of worship and praise unto the Lord that will manifest his long-awaited kingdom into the world of man. These manifest children of God will be in bodies glorified, or if you will, bodies which bear the weight and the structure of the very person of God. The twofold motion. There will be two motions of the Lord during the judgments which shall now unfold. These motions will reveal not only the Lord and his corrections, but also the Lord as Father. As a Father, he will at the same time give mercy, grace, and compassion to all that is being judged. While the one is in collapse, the other will show mercy and grace, not leaving men with no place of restoration. The purpose in all that we will see still remains, and that is to restore all things back unto Father, cleansed and purified. So just as the Lord had tools by which restoration works, he will also have compassion as the systems of men collapse. Not for the unrighteous ways of men, but for their souls he will redeem. Think of it as the theft and the right hand of the Lord. Pardon me. Think of it as the left and the right hand of the Lord. One brings forth judgment, left, and the other his restoration life, right. I'll just read that again. Think of it as the left and the right hand of the Lord. One brings forth judgment, left hand, and the other his restoration, life, right hand. Both will continue to work together, but now rapid the pace, and not long shall it be that the conclusion of the entire matter will be reached. The Lord shall move now to bring all of this to fruition. The first thing we will see in these judgments is that worldwide mankind is in a state of disparaging. All men everywhere are at odds, one over against the other. There are varied and mixed opinions on every slant of business, finance, politics, and leaders of the world. This is actually a working of the Lord in allowing man's ways to come back upon him. Earlier, I prophesied that men would look for a way to have peace amongst them and to seek to find an answer among their ranks, but would find none. This wrestling worldwide is a motion of judgment. It is an actual handing over to men their own ways by the Lord's judgment upon them. When you see a nation at odds with themselves, with two varied and opposing groups, you are literally seeing the Lord doing that work to bring man back upon his own ways and to consume his own pride and ego. Futile will be the attempt of any nation to find this peace that is desperately needed because the Lord has taken peace from them. This settling of men at odds with one another is a motion of the Lord in judgment, man being made to eat his own way. And how many times does this judgment have to take place in a nation before they learn? Answer, they will learn to be right in the end of this. Combined with this judgment will be the collapse of currency values due to excessive debt loads. In trying to maintain a standard of living, debt levels worldwide have increased beyond comprehension. There is no answer to the levels of debt now carried by individuals, families, towns, cities, provinces and states, and entire nations. Man's answer to this is to make one currency the key currency used in the world of man, but it will no longer work. The Lord has blown his fiery wind upon the world system of monetary currency because his laws have been broken. By the continual creation of money thrown at the problem of debt, mankind has dug themselves into a deep hole of no escape. This too is all of the Lord, and he is bringing all of this back upon the nations of the earth. Think not that monetary collapse will never happen, that man will bolster his monetary defenses and raise himself up over the problem of debt. It is not possible, for the Lord is judging debts worldwide. The only way to avoid this judgment is to become debt-free. But for many, there is no resource for that, hence the losses that will be incurred as the system continues its collapse. The only way out of this quagmire of debt is to give it all to the Lord, committing it all into his capable hands, or I might add, his capable nail-scarred hands. The other element added to this is the continual threat of war between nations. There is no longer any winnable war by any nation. They may think that by force of arms they can vanquish their foes, but the Lord has moved now also in such a way as to make all wars unwinnable because the problems facing the nations have no resolve. There is no peace, says the Lord, because the nations have forsaken the right way and have stood strong in their own strength to defend their own rights. There will no longer be any defense of national pride or standing. The wars have no answer to them because the problems between nations persist with no fixable solutions. Nations backed by religious and moral values that other nations may not agree with has now come to the full. I will set in here a series of visions from former papers which will confirm these words. From The Temple of God Opened in Heaven, Fire and Smoke Flowing from the Throne. Quote, as the sun was setting, I saw the sons and daughters of God, yet in their mortal bodies, being guided by divine unction, allow me to start that again. So this is the vision from The Temple of God Opened in Heaven, Fire and Smoke Flowing from the Throne. As the sun was setting, I saw the sons and daughters of God, yet in their mortal bodies, being guided by divine unction, as the Lord cared for them and looked out for them during the collapse of the building and structure of Babylon. The towers and walls and fortresses and systems of Babylon were under severe shaking by the Lord, who did cause all within the systems of man to shake and to rattle and to become vain both in man's attempt to heal Babylon and to prevent or stop or fight against the shakings. As the Lord shook the structure of Babylon, the walls and the buildings began to crumble. The entire system of Babylon, from its lowest foundation to its highest towers, were under the shaking judgments of God and the collapse of its buildings were done in such a way as to make it impossible for it to be rebuilt. The stones of Babylon fell to the earth, landing upon the dust of the earth, pounding up large clouds of dust and debris. The rocks and blocks of Babylon were raining down upon the earth as if it were a huge firestorm. The entire structure was being demolished. I saw the sons and daughters of God being instantly guided right and left, stopping and starting, moving this way and that way, all by the directive of the Lord, who, by his Holy Spirit, did guide them to dodge and miss the falling blocks from the crumbling structures. However, I noticed that the feet of the sons and daughters of God were bare. They wore no sandal, nor any shoe, and their feet were filthy with the cast-up dust of Babylon as the blocks did strike the earth from the collapse. Some of the blocks were large, like one would see in a pyramid, others small, like the size of a man's fist, but the dust of their casting up would cake itself upon the feet of the Lord's children, so that their feet had the contamination of Babylon's soil, even though they were under the protective guidance of the Lord. And vision of the temple of God opened in heaven, fire and smoke flowing from the throne. From the Epistle Mysteries, the Mystery of God, Arise, Kingdom Age. Vision. God held the earth as one would hold a large ball upon his left hand, swung the earth before him to his right hand, and the earth passed from his left hand to his right hand. Even the earth hung in the void of space, but filled with the atmosphere of air over the nations. So it passed from the left hand of God to the right hand of God as it continued in its orbit. And vision. From the Epistle Mysteries, Mystery of the Faith, Finish My Second Work. The earth was before the Lord as though it were but a small sphere, neither too large nor grand in size, that the Lord did not have the world in its entirety in his hands, and in his purpose to finish this work that he had begun. With both arms over the earth, the Lord, with one arm, would bring forth great evil, and with the other arm, great peace and doctrines that were according to his righteous nature. The Lord controlled this interplay of good and evil. No one else was present with him, as the world before him was thus dealt with by his two hands, working both things in all the nations now present, as well as those extinct, and in all the affairs of men. The Lord, with perfect precision, controlled this interplay with nothing going out of his control. Neither was there ever an evil so great that he did not work in it, and nothing so righteous without the pressure of trial and tribulation accompanying it. So great was his working in all the nations that the world of men during this present time and continuing also in those extinct. And vision. Two visions from the New Jerusalem, chapter 34, The Power of God. The second vision. I could behold the earth in its entirety. I saw the atmosphere surrounding the earth mixed with the presence of God, who had both his hands upon the earth, reaching through the atmosphere in keeping power. I saw God then lift ever so slightly his hands off the earth and out of the atmosphere. As he did, evil upon the earth and the hearts of men began to increase exceedingly, being powered by the forces of principality and power in the air that was above the earth. As man's wickedness increased more and more, the horrible condition of the pureness of the earth was polluted, and mankind and the animal kingdom suffered immeasurable grief as God ever so slightly removed his presence from off of the earth. The evil became exceedingly wicked, and men's hearts were filled with anger and murder and every foul thought, and nothing in the vain imagination of men prevented them from destroying each other. The tumult upon the earth became so intense that many perished and were no more as man's evil heart and lawlessness increased. I saw that this is only but now just at the beginning. This is a present reality at the presence of God will, that the presence of God will wane from many areas of the world and men will become exceedingly sinful in the mystery of iniquity. This then is a prophecy of that which we are now entering into prior to the return of Christ and the glorification of those who overcome. We are coming into a time of increase of great evil. Now the second vision from two visions from the New Jerusalem, chapter 34, the power of God. Extension of the second vision, except that once the evil in the earth had escalated to a certain point, God immediately lowered his hands to where they were before to bring an immediate end to the increase in evil. Thus far and no farther was the thought I saw concerning this. This also is before us yet to come. I am declaring these things unto you, the reader, as a prophecy and not as something that has passed us by. And those two visions from the power of God. What will now be seen? Now on this very day, we will see an unraveling of all that was arrayed against men. Both sides of the equation of religious or political effort, whether you agree with the slant you follow or not, will all come unglued. Nothing will be remaining as it was. In two parts, you will see this unraveling take place. First, of all the Christian world will continue to see increase in persecution and in threats. But the Lord will raise up key Christians who will be brought before the kings and leaders who will defend the motion of the Lord's Spirit through great wisdom and by power that could only be the Lord working through them. These who are going to be raised up to represent the Spirit of the Lord are his standard, his banner, if you will. These will not plead the case for Christianity, but will instead reveal the Lord in his person to world leadership, who at this time will not be able to handle the tumult found in nations. Only the revelation of the Lord, in company with certain head powers, would deliver world leaders and nations to realms of peace. But in doing so, their areas of discord will be exposed and refuted. In other words, the rising up of the Christian leaders whom God is going to reveal to the world leaders will bring national repentance. Secondly, you will now see the strong force of the world of Islam collapse. They have been used of the Lord as a chastisement rod for a very long time. But that is now over. Now the Lord is moving to bring Islam back to its root in their father Abraham. They will soon see that their force of religious effort in overtaking nations will not work, as the nations will only flourish as they try. The more the Islamic world tries to overtake a nation, the more the nation will flourish. Men will come into agreement to refute the Islamic State worldwide as their plans to overtake all nations begin to fail due to simple refusal on the part of national leaders. The Lord is moving to not only take over the debts of nations, but also their religious efforts, no matter what the religion is. You will, with your own eyes, see the efforts of the Islamic State wane and enfold in upon itself, and their efforts will all be found to be futile. World terrorism will continue for a time, but the Lord will intervene by his Spirit and will give deliverance through that same peace unto the nations that need such relief. Thirdly, and last for this particular writing, you will now see literal collapse of monetary systems. This has been said before and said repeatedly, but this time the Lord will move to consume man's lusts for money and power back upon themselves. The levels of finance needed to maintain world standards will be blown upon by the wind of God's breath, and no nation will be able to keep a standard of currency that will work for very long. The Lord is blowing upon the entire structure of it, and it will come to nothing. But the Lord won't leave the nations in that nothing state. He will replace their loss with his presence, end of waning presence, and will announce himself to the nations through the manifestation of the sons of God. That is how close we are to that promise. These are the things I am seeing in the world of man. Kenneth B. Vischer.